I'm Jackie Judd, and joining me is Eric Pianin of Kaiser Health News. Eric's on Capitol Hill, where House Democratic leaders just unveiled a draft of their major health care reform bill. Eric, before we get to the specifics, set the scene for us.
Well, Jackie, it was a major turnout of the House Democratic leaders from Speaker Nancy Pelosi on down. Everyone was sort of arrayed around the lectern with a big banner behind them saying quality, affordable health care for the middle class. And everybody was sort of invoking the historic significance of this moment. And many people deferred to John Dingell, the legendary House member whose father, a former member of Congress, first started the effort for universal health insurance 60 years ago during the Truman administration. So it was a big moment as they unveiled the House Democratic plan for extending health care coverage to nearly 50 million uninsured Americans. And
What is the overview of the bill, Eric? What are the headlines from it?
Well, the big question leading up to this was, how much will this cost? And that's probably one of the few questions they didn't really answer. The Congressional Budget Office is still trying to estimate what this plan will cost over 10 years. We may know something more later today or later in the week. But the critical provisions of this include creation of a health insurance exchange and a new public health insurance option, which would be a government-generated source of health care insurance for uninsured Americans, and would provide guaranteed coverage and insurance market reforms. It would set a floor on the level of coverage for those who seek insurance in this new exchange. And it has a series of other provisions important for middle and lower income Americans, including providing a sliding scale of credits for lower income people who need help in purchasing the insurance. It puts a cap on annual out-of-pocket spending. It expands Medicaid and improves on Medicare in some ways. So it's really sort of a major reform of the health insurance industry, and it also includes many of the provisions that are essential, really, to liberal Democrats in Congress, and probably the most important one being the creation of this public option, this government-created source of new insurance that could compete with the private industry.
And just to clarify, it does include an individual mandate, that is, everyone who can afford it by government standards will have to have insurance, and also requires, except for the very, very smallest of businesses, most businesses to offer their employees coverage in some way.
Precisely. Many of the architects of this legislation feel that it's critical that some pressure be applied to individuals to take part in this program, to take advantage of this insurance program that's being created, and also pressure on employers to either create or offer insurance to their workers, or if they don't, to contribute to a pool that would create insurance availability in this new exchange. And just to show how serious they are about it, I noticed that one of the changes from the initial draft to this latest version of the bill is to increase the penalty that individuals would pay for not taking part in the exchanges up from 2% to 2.5%.
And the chief way in which this will be financed is a surtax on the wealthiest. Is that correct?
That's correct. The Ways and Means Committee, chaired by Charles Rangel, late last week came up with a proposal for sort of a sliding scale surtax on the wealthiest Americans, really. And they say that this would affect perhaps the 1.2% of all Americans who make the highest incomes. And the tax could range from 1% of people's adjusted income for those making between $350,000 and $500,000 to up to 1.5% of those making between $500,000 and $1 million a year.
Eric, a final question. The unveiling of this bill was delayed from late last week because there was some opposition from certain groups in the House, including the Blue Dog Democrats, largely fiscally conservative congressmen, many of them from more rural areas. So what is in this bill that appeases them, or are they not appeased?
Well, there's definitely efforts made within this latest draft to appease them. I think perhaps the most obvious one is the exemption from the mandate for smaller businesses, and smaller employers. Mm-hmm. And I think that this was added at the last minute to try to placate the more conservative Democrats, the so-called Blue Dog Democrats, who are very concerned that these employer mandates could, kill off smaller businesses in their districts, many of them from rural districts, who are concerned about, struggling businesses during the recession. So I think this was probably the main peace offering, if you will, to the Blue Dogs. But the leaders, Pelosi and Steny Hoyer and George Miller and others, are all emphasizing that this is really a big start to a process that won't really be completed until later this fall, and that a lot of other changes could be made during the markup of this bill in three separate committees beginning later this week.
But do they expect to have a vote in the House before the August recess or not?
Pelosi said that there will be a vote in the House before the August recess, and she and Hoyer raised the possibility that even the Senate, which has been struggling to come up with a version of its own, might vote as well before the August recess.
Okay, we'll see about that. Thank you so much, Eric Pianin of Kaiser Health News. I'm Jackie Judd.